How easily we take water for granted. In our part of the world, all we need is to turn a water faucet and out it comes, isn't it? Clean, safe, drinkable, life-giving water. If only all the people in the world had that privilege. A good way to begin reflecting from this text today is to remember and be thankful to the Lord for the abundance of water we have. You know, when we open our faucets, if we don't like the taste, we have bottled water that we can drink. What a privilege. When we were in Jamaica, we were told to be very conservative with the usage of the water, even in the mission house. They had clean drinking water in the faucet, but the water can stop at any moment, and you can go for weeks, they said, without water. So we tried to keep the tank always full and, did the, quick showers and try to use the water that we normally would throw from drinking, but pouring it into the house plants, giving them some water there. Think about water, and here is Jacob's well, thousands of years old. Jesus stops by Jacob's well. It was a famous well for centuries, as Jacob was one of the patriarchs. It was part of the land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. The well is still there today, about an hour's drive from north of Jerusalem. Jesus was tired and he stops at the well, and as his disciples went into the town, Sychar, to buy some food. And as Jesus stops here, Jesus meets this woman. She came without friends at an hour when most of the other women of the town would not be present. Perhaps she was alone because of her reputation in that community. Going through five husbands and now living with another man who was not her husband, Jesus asks her for a drink of water. She is surprised. She is surprised that a Jew would stoop down to even speak to a Samaritan, and let alone asking for a drink of water from a Samaritan woman, which would be considered unclean and ceremonially unclean, and they would not be allowed to go to worship the Lord in the temple. Jesus tells this woman, telling her of living water which does not give out. Of course, she's confused, as you see the scripture, hear the scripture, there is a dialogue going between them. And then in verse 13 and 14, Jesus answers, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman is speechless. She recognizes that Jesus is a prophet to reveal the hidden secrets of her life, and is now wanting to know what this living water is all about. What is this living water that Jesus is talking about? What is it? This woman comes to the well to draw water, to quench her thirst, and I'm sure to take some water back to do the washing and cleaning and for drinking as well. Thirst, the natural human craving, isn't it? Jesus says to her, I have something better, so that you will thirst no more. You will not have to come back to this well. And she's going, how could that be? How could that be? Do you see what Jesus is addressing? A human craving, and the craving is fulfilled by a temporary satisfaction. You are thirsty, so you drink water to satisfy your thirst. And so it is with all our human cravings. We can satisfy it with temporary satisfaction. And Jesus is looking at this woman and telling her, you've been doing that. You've been trying to crave for things and satisfy your needs, but I have something that is eternal, that will satisfy you, not just temporarily, but eternally. We have all heard this, haven't we? If only I could move to a new town and make a new start, then I would be happy. If only I could change jobs, buy a new home, buy a new car, buy a new toy. I mean, the list goes on. Then I would be happy. If only this, if only I could find that. Looking for happiness? That's what Jesus is addressing to this woman. She's been looking for happiness. She's been trying to satisfy her needs. And Jesus is telling her, my daughter, I've got something that will satisfy you, not just temporarily, but eternally as well. People search for happiness. Happiness in the accumulation of material things. I mean, you've sure watched that show, The Hoarding Show. I mean, I was just walking across the room and saw that on TV, stopped there for 5 minutes. This woman had hoarded all the stuff, and finally she didn't even have room to walk in her house. And she's crying, saying that her family has quit coming over because there is no room in the house to visit with grandma. Others search for happiness in belonging to exclusive groups. Well, the Samaritan woman asks Jesus, how is that you, a Jew, would ask a drink of me, a Samaritan? Why are you being so nice to me? You're a member of a sorority or a high society. I'm working my way through college here. Why are you trying to come in? This is a private club. No Jews allowed. I don't know. Calvin and Hobbes, the cartoonist Bill Watterson, makes Calvin an exaggeration of what parents see in their kids and kids in their parents. Hobbes is a stuffed tiger to whom Calvin's imagination is always giving life. Calvin and Hobbes are sitting under a tree. Calvin asks Hobbes, what do you think is the secret of happiness? Is it money, power, or fame? Calvin adds, I'd choose money. If you have money, you can buy power and fame. That way you'd have it all and be really happy. Happiness is being famous for your financial ability to indulge in every kind of excess. Hobbes replies, "I suppose that's one way to define it." Calvin adds, "The part I think I'd like best is crushing people who get in my way." Sad, isn't it? Happiness is not to be found in the things we accumulate, the groups we belong to, or even the things we accomplish. Look at the lives of those who have all these things, and they're not happy. This was on the news a year ago. There was this couple in Florida. They were in a resort, and some argument, he shoots his wife in front of his kids, and then eventually he runs out, and they call the cops, and he shoots one of the cops, and you know, he's taken away. The wife is dead, two children. They find out that he is in debt, so much debt. So much debt that he would never have paid it off. Just to belong in this exclusive club, he pays $40,000 a year just to belong to this club. My friends, the human craving to satisfy the needs, to belong to certain groups, to let people know that we're okay. But Jesus looks deep down into our soul and looks and sees who we are. And he says, "I have living water. I have something that will not perish. I have something that is eternal." Last week we talked about Nick. Remember Nick? Nicodemus? Very similar situation, isn't it? Very similar situation. Nick comes during the night, doesn't want people to see him. And here is this woman. She comes to the well. She does not want to be seen or associate with the community, because she knows at noon it's too hot for people to come to the well. They come either early or late. So she chooses this time to come. Jesus tells her in verse 23, "When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father is seeking. God is spirit, and the worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." And very similar thing that Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, "You must be born of the spirit." Okay, you've been born by the flesh, but now you need to be born of the spirit to enter the kingdom of God. And he says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit. You know, we can come every Sunday, we can worship. We can come to the well and go back and not receive the living water that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is offering us something different, something substantial, something for the long run. Are we willing to receive that living water to satisfy our soul, to satisfy that craving that nothing in this world can't satisfy? Look at this woman. She immediately recognizes who this is. She leaves her pot of water. She runs into the village. She invites these people to come and see. You know, this woman came in hiding. She did not want the community to know that she was out and about. And here she is running back, inviting this whole village to come and see. Do you think she tasted the living water? The scripture does not say what happened, but I believe she drank a whole bucket or whatever that Jesus had to offer. She is transformed. She's transformed. She invites her community, and they come. And they come and they find Jesus. There is nothing more splendid and lasting in its goodness than tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. You know, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for the living God. The psalmist sings in 42 verse 1. Our soul longs for God. And we cannot fill it with anything that we can find in this world. But it is Him. He is the only one who can satisfy our needs. Revelation 21, 6, he said, God says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Are you searching for happiness? Look no farther. Look no farther than your own heart. Open your heart to God through His Son Jesus, and He will give you. He will give you living water, Himself. That word, fill your cup. Fill your cup. And overflow. And others will able to know and taste Christ through you. As our meditation song, as our commitment song, let's sing, fill my cup, Lord, fill it up. You know, if you are thirsty, if you are hungry, if you are asking for God to help you with whatever you're struggling, let Him fill you. Let Him fill you with His Holy Spirit. Give you a renewed spirit. Give you the transformed life that you can go home, experience His Holy Spirit, His power, the living water in your life. Amen.
Stand and join in hymn 641, Fill My Cup.
Heaven, feed me till I want. loving of my soul.